I'm Mariem, your host of Uncensored. And today I have, again, Margarita Aman, powerhouse. I always call her a powerhouse because she really is. She's been with us here in Uncensored a few times. And every time we have a show with you, it's just like amazing. And today I'm actually quite excited to have you because, not excited, I'm actually stoked. Because, you know, when you came to the show the first time, you were very vocal about the fact that you wanted to have a chair next to the man that were doing these live forums in the yachting industry. And obviously you got that. So Margarita, who is the managing director of IMS, she was also part of the panelists on the Super Yacht Forum Live 2021. And for those of you who don't, you know, didn't get to see the live, I'll definitely share the article where Margarita talks about, you know, what was discussed in the forum. But I want to say, you know, what I read from the Super Yacht News, it was that the panelists talked about the next generation of both workers and owners and the need to attract engagement from a more diverse talent pool. And also the conversation veered through a number of different topics, such as the lack of diversity and inclusion, as well as the expectation to work under inadequate and unprofessional conditions. So what about we start with you telling us, how did you end up being a panelist?
Yeah, that was an interesting journey to get actually to the seat. Martin Redman is obviously the owner and the host of most of those events, especially actually the only one who in those forums addresses the human factor, which is usually crew. That's a topic that's been lingering around, but formally and officially addressed just under his umbrella. So after a few back and forth, why I should be on the panel and talk about this. It was never said, no, we don't want you. But I was also not actively, proactively invited. In the end, I was, which was really great. And I'll thank them for the opportunity because that wind of change that comes with COVID, it also reached now news outlets. And I have new journalists in there who are actually journalists first and then in the yachting industry and not former yachties who then are supposed to write. So they approach this topic with a much broader global view. So It's not anymore a nice to have, it's a must have on the agenda.
What I'm hearing is that for you to be able to get invited to this forum, you were actively, you know, contacting the people that are in charge of these talks, and you know, you were persistent enough that that they said, you know what, yes, let's invite her. And I'm so happy that they did, because you did bring, you know, you bring the whole background of being a crew member, which I think a lot of these people that go in these talks and forums don't have, and that's why they're so narrow-minded when they actually speak, because they're only like talking from one perspective and not a broader perspective. And also the fact that you are also where they're at, because now you're no longer a crew member, you're actually working for the yachting industry from a complete different perspective, so you know, a different sector. So it's really cool that you can tap into what their perspective, but you can also tap into, you know, us, which is the human side, right? Which is like what actually makes yachting, because a boat without crew is not a boat. Yeah. You know, it's just
you can build ships, yeah. But then they're gonna carry goods, containers, bulk. But the whole point of a yacht is for the service side. So people neglect to acknowledge that we are all. Many people have said it before that we are all in service of the owner. You're not just the captain, you're not just an engineer, you're also in the service of the owner. And as a community, we should be of service to each other. And the community is not just narrowed or limited to community on board or yacht crew. I mean the whole community, from uniform suppliers to suppliers of other goods, managers, recruiters, yacht builders, designers. We all hang together, and the domino effect is finally made its way around to actually affect now people who before were not just blind but also deaf towards those outcries, and maybe now they take it serious.
And talking about that, I read in the Super Yacht News article that they created about, you know, you and this forum, that, and I'm going to quote, if the people designing super yachts took more consideration of the operational and technical spaces of their yachts, and if crew spaces were designed more ergonomically, perhaps they wouldn't be such breeding grounds for misconduct. Likewise, if insurance companies raise their premiums for yachts that had poor crew accommodation, owners would have a financial incentive to give crew acceptable working and living conditions. And before I give you the mic, I remember that you sent me a little, kind of like a little reel of, and I believe this was the topic that was on happening when I saw the reel. I remember that it was a, you were talking about insurance and, you know, what we just said about raising their premiums, and somebody from the public, which I don't know what he was, who he was representing. Maybe you can clarify with us. I was baffled by the fact that you were so clear, straightforward. You know, you had the right information. It was like black and white, you know, and this man was just like, he just didn't get it. And when the crowd, actually like stood up and was like, dude, like, what are you doing? You know? And it just, you know, it was such a short little video, but I was so pumped because I was like, this is why this woman needs to be in these live forums, you know, because it brings the reality of what we're actually going through at in a way that's digestible. You know what I mean? And something that has a solution. That creates.
Oh, I'm glad to hear yeah. that.
So, can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, I remember the situation quite vividly because obviously it was the first time or the second time because I was on stage in Monaco at the Monaco Yacht Summit, but that was a more closed, no press invitation. So, in the Superyacht Forum in Amsterdam, there was the huge auditorium filled with people and representative of the industry. I didn't see anyone from a larger yacht management company, but from the boutique and smaller management companies, I saw a few. So the situation was as follows. Someone from the audience asked, yes, we understand that there's issues, but what is the 10-plan solution that you're offering? I was just trying to express that it's good that you all acknowledge that there's an issue. If you want to see a 10-point plan, let's meet up afterwards and we can go through it. Question is, though, are you willing to actually hear the truth? Because the truth is brutal and hard to, yeah, it's hard to swallow. So he then continued. He's a gentleman from the yacht insurance company, from a yacht insurance company. And as the thought goes around of how can we solve this problem, people keep looking with their same mindset that has led us to the issue to get us out of it, but that doesn't really work. So he was looking for who is responsible for, or why is the crew sleep deprived? Must be the cabins that are so bad. Therefore, the designers need to change the cabin. It was the first instance to go to. And I understand that kind of thinking, but it's not up to designers and solely on the designer's responsibility to make a change there. It takes all of us to make a change. So yes, a designer can change the layout, the footprint in a way to be more comfortable for crew to be able to move around in a cabin. No one's asking for their cabin to be according to the feng shui rules or have enough space in there to do their HIIT workout. That's not the question. It's just a matter of, is it possible to enable crew to be able to get a good night's sleep in it without going airborne in the bunk because it's so far forward or being woken up by the chain? from the anchor chain, or even that you're able to turn in a cabin or move straight without having to parkour through it. So this is things a designer can do, but it doesn't matter if he can or she can or cannot do it. It's also a matter if they're allowed to do it. So besides the designer, it also takes the builders to enforce that this is necessary, because yes, you might be able to save some square meters and some money instantly for the build, but it's going to have a chain reaction on all the cost you will have. And now the gentleman from the insurance company, he said the designer should make a change. I said, why don't you look what change you can make? You know, sleep deprivation and the difficulties of the work environment have led to accidents, which have led to insurance payouts, which have led to a trail of difficulties, legal fees, repatriation fees, actual costs involved, time and resources to replace the person who got injured, or in the worst case scenarios have passed away because of those severe circumstances of work. So I said to him, why don't you, since you know that sleep deprivation and other accidents are prone because of the situation it was built, then you should up the premium fee. And that caused quite a reaction in the audience, with gasps and laughs and applause, because I don't think they've considered to turn it, that it could turn back around on them. But for us, it's easy to think this way because we already apply this type of thinking in our day-to-day. And that brings me to the other point. Just because you think it shouldn't be, or it's not typical business practice to be honest, to show empathy, to show emotions. People sometimes use emotions like it's a dirty word, but it's what makes us human. So if you cannot accept emotions, how can you fight for equality? How can you fight for social sustainability? It's all goes down to that. So since we apply it, people like us apply it to our day-to-day in private life, others, and I would like to include myself in that, apply it also in the way we practice business. And now this type of new mentality needs to roll over to the ones higher up.
And talking about that, you stated that the real change should come from the white collar and those with real power. And I'm going to also quote, there is an expectation that the people with the least amount of power are expected to push the initiative when it should be the people at the very top. Poor working conditions will ultimately affect ethnic minorities and the lesser passports like non-Anglo-Saxon nationality the most. So, and you continue to say on the article, I'm not saying that designers need to start considering, like you said, feng shui for cruise spaces, but there's just needs to be a more of a conversation between the different sectors of the industry. They need to actually spend time talking to all different departments on board their yachts. Otherwise, they're operating in an echo chamber. And I totally agree with you. You know, like a lot of times you go into a boat and you're like, who thought about this? Like, obviously, they don't know what actually happens inside a vessel. They don't know how to run service. They don't know what's going to be more efficient, because they're not thinking that way. They're thinking what looks pretty, pretty much, not efficient.
And they should, they shouldn't feel, they shouldn't feel accused or guilty of this, because
absolutely not.
You cannot know, and it's okay that you cannot know. I mean, even NASA makes mistakes. What was the story about NASA? They gave 100 Tampax because of one female astronaut going to space for a week. So if you, okay, you could have, you could have asked any woman or the astronaut astronaut herself, or look it up on the internet of biology classes, that no woman needs 100 Tampax for a week, especially if it's not in her period. So they make the assumption that they know without checking
and
if
I
they
think
really
why,
know.
You know, the, I don't know if this will ever happen, but the, you know, something so simple as raising the premiums, it really does hold a lot of people accountable to start the conversation and look at different options, because now money is involved and money talks, right? So, you know, it's not, it is what it is. And I think that if this is a simple solution that could really start helping shifting the mindset of people and starting to almost be, you know, like it's not a choice. You know what I mean? It's like, if you do this, this is the consequence. So you pay up, you know, you don't want to do this, you pay more. Simple, great, awesome. Yeah. But then, you know, they're always wanting to pay less. So it's like, okay, then let's talk. Let's open the conversation.
They can. If you want to pay less, that means you need to look at it holistically in the broad exactly. sense. Just because, let's say, okay, you build a boat and your heart is set on everything water sports. Great. But you still want to eat. You still want your laundry done. So you're not going to build the whole yacht only focused on what the deck department needs to do, because to cater towards those water sports enthusiasts and towards the deck department, you need also the supporting department, supporting bodies under it, and yeah. you need the crew spaces. You're gonna need the other departments to rely on. You know, so everyone needs their spaces.
There's but like built where you have a cabin, and behind my head there's a washer and dryer. I go to bed, the washer and dryer doesn't stop because that's part of service, right? That's like the high level of service that you want to give to the owner and the guest. So your laundry has to keep on going. And what does that mean? That the person that's in that cabin doesn't actually get to rest. If they don't rest properly, their mental and physical health gets deteriorated, which actually means a potential accident can happen, not being the best at performing their job just because somebody didn't think, there's a laundry machine behind the head of this person that's going to sleep here. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes it's like a little bit of, I think like, do they even have common sense? You know, like you go to have a break and like you said, the shame, boom. It's like, oh my God, you can't sleep. You can't take 20 minutes to shut off the world because the design is not intended to promote a healthy environment for crew members, which are the foundation of the vessel at the end of the day. But then you expect the crew member to be on top of their game, to be the best, to not have mental health issues, to not complain. You know, it's like, come on, guys, like 2022, you know what I mean? And when you say that real change should come from white collar and those with real power, what does that translate to?
That means it has to start from the top. It means brokers, managers, yacht builders, designers, that they all take a good look at what they used to do and the issues that they're facing. And I think that balance will be very clear, that whatever they're doing right now, it's not working anymore, or it has perpetuated an issue that becomes now a real rock in the road. Because, okay, your books of building are full, fine, but the crew bunk's going to be empty, because crew's mentality towards this job has changed. The whole work force, the whole working world has changed.
I literally had this conversation with a captain a few days ago where I had to tell him, hey, either you get on board or you're going to be left behind. But things are very different now. The mentality of crew is different. It's not like 10 years ago that it was slavery. You know, it's
people are more empowered and more educated. Exactly. And the great resignation.
And they also, like, you know, captains are telling me like, oh, people, you know, they're asking for so much money. They're asking for this and benefits and like asking about mental health. I'm like, oh yeah, they're actually standing up, you know, and they're actually making this a better environment for them and for the rest. And there's obviously, there's still the old mentality where, you know, it's like, shut up, do your work. You're getting paid enough, you know? And it's like, actually I'm not, because if you take the salary that the not the max or the minimum, but that the normal salary that a lot of people get on the industry, when you divide it between hours, you get paid shit.
I think we all have done this before and had a horrible day out of it, just because of how evident it becomes that this is not a good calculation. And if you think you're actually paying me for the hardship, you actually are not.
Exactly. And then like, go ahead.
And what I was going to say is that even if you compare across across the departments. A chief stewardess more often, and of course, yes, there is a unicorn here and there out there that she gets more pay than a chief officer, let's say, but they already diminishing her stand by giving her a title that has no power, by showing it in the sense of her rotations are probably not going to be the same, her salary is not going to be the same, the living condition cabin won't be the same, if she even has a working desk or just a temporary station that you build up in the pantry and then break down again when somebody needs to use the pantry, and all of those dilemmas. I don't see any chief officer or chief engineer having to do that. So as long as we don't equal those positions and the terminology around it, it's going to be hard to press for that change to be more than just a facade.
Yes. And I want to talk about the McKinsey study. So you brought this up. Can you, you know, talk about what this is and why you brought it up? Because it seemed like it caused a bit of a commotion in the forum.
Yeah, and I think many people found themselves or caught themselves and like, oh, look, I have been a little bit biased about this. But I also understand, because during the conversations before and after off the stage, I've noticed that people didn't even notice that they were reacting this way. And they were very careful, because when you drop such a topic off stage, you see that they're looking for the reaction of someone else. So how can you call yourself a leader if you're waiting for someone else to do the right thing, when you all in your heart know what the right thing is, but you're not doing it? That by definition makes you not a leader, that makes you a follower. But the few who in that very moment, before they knew who I am, what I stand for and all that, they said, I like what she says, she's a lion. And that was a white captain who said that. He received no applause, no reaction whatsoever. A few careful and, you know, standoffish nods. And then they realize, oh, the mess is not going for it, so I won't go either. So he was as ousted as I was in that moment. After, when I was on stage, later the conversations were more pure and people were free enough to honestly say what they think, because then we can get better to the core of things. And I'm not going to just, you know, hang you out to dry just because you said something medium to heavily sexist. I still want to understand where that thought comes from and not, you know, shoot you for it. So the McKinsey thing was another situation where Jenny Matthews, she of the Sea, she shared the file with me last year, beginning of the year. We discussed it a lot. McKinsey is a huge corporation that does a lot of those reviews and surveys, and they, in this case, they also went to several countries and companies to basically count out how many people of different gender, different nationalities are involved and how they're performing. And they made the calculation. It's not something out of my feather or something from a yachting company.
Yeah.
You know, and more the conversations show that people are looking outside of yachting to find a solution for the issues they're facing. Yet they still fail to see the talent they have in yachting who come with a commercial background to give you that hybrid solution. Because someone from outside will never fully get what happens inside. Someone from inside will never fully capture in the next 10 years or 5 years what happens in the commercial world. You need to find the hybrids already when they exist within. And there's more than just me out there. Maybe in interior, not so much. But in the other fields. So, yeah, so I brought up the study and it clearly showed that I would have to lie about the figures. But if you have women included in your teams, you financially outperform your competitors by 20-21%. If you include other ethnicities, other perspectives, because it doesn't mean, okay, let's play fine together. It also means that because I play with this nationality nicely, a whole new demographic, a whole new group of clients opens up with it too. So when you include women and ethnicities, you outperform your competitors financially by 30-34%, something like that. And that's actual money in your pocket. So you don't have to be on board with the whole equality thing. And I would love to for everyone to be on board with that. Some, it takes them to be married or speak with other women or have a daughter to come around to the topic and making active change. Some never come around, but they all like money. They all want to make money. And I think they shouldn't miss out on this because owners have changed and owners are changing. We have a generational shift that has been mentioned a few times. So why not, instead of being reactive to it, we can be proactive now.
And talking about the McKinsey, on the Super Yacht News articles, it says, you know, and I quote you, "I mentioned the McKinsey story during the panel and the entire crowd just looked back at me with blank faces. It wasn't until John Leonida, a well-known spokesperson in the industry," we love John, love you, John, keep doing what you're doing, "highlighted the exact same points that everyone started noting and clapping." And to be honest, I love that it was John because he actually has your back. And, you know, what was your reaction to that?
To be honest, the adrenaline was riding quite high with me when I was on stage. So I've just noticed, okay, no reaction. What else? Do I need to be more drastic? Do I need to be more clear? Do I need to pull back for them to digest it? What's, you know, I was just mentally moving on to the next line of argument. And it was then later became to me more apparent that, oh yeah, they didn't really, they heard it, but they didn't feel safe to react. And then John said it, and then there was applause. I still don't take it as, oh, you liked his, but it was mine. Excuse me, but I still feel that they are so intimidated by the industry, without naming now with all the companies that do control the narrative, that they feel unsafe to give a reaction. But they warmed up, and later there was, there was more applause, there was more reaction and participation. And obviously with the debate and the things I said directly as they came in my head led to a more honest and open conversation, I think.
Like you said, you know, that instance where both of you said the same thing but got totally different reactions, it really represents the energy around the industry in every sector. You know, it's like, and what you talked about, where there's a lot of people that are not true leaders because they don't actually take action towards what they believe is correct and what they believe, you know, what they actually, you know, stand up for. Because a lot of people are like you said, intimidated. And that you can see inside a vessel from, you know, like captains to crew, owners, guests, captains with owners being intimidated, management, crew, like, you know, there's this intimidation energy, which really is not giving us the opportunity to be better because it's just keeping us in fear and we're not really able to move forward together, you know, in a more cohesive way. So yeah, I think that it's interesting that, you know, we can see in these little instances how something so, I don't know, that some people will be like, whatever, it's not a big deal. It's not that it's not a big deal or that it is that it really represents where we are, you know?
And it's not one small incident. It's not an outlier in the statistics. It's a constant, it's a repeating thing. Exactly. I'm not the first woman to be ignored or my request being denied. I'm not going to be the last, at least not in the next year or two. I won't be the last one who has this happened to her. Nevertheless, the communities from the bottom up are organizing themselves and they are ready to, because of social media and everything, crew is much more happy to release sensitive information because they have full access to everything. So it's actually a ticking bomb. And if we don't do something now, yachting is going to be the new dirty word. And it's not going to be fancy to have a yacht if ever something comes out. And I think we all have experienced first or second hand what happens politically behind the scenes, and what I hear people saying it's a shark tank or it's a doggy dog industry, but what goes on in yachting is beyond what goes on in the commercial world. Honestly, I have to say there's more business ethics in the commercial world. And there was some rough moments there, but I failed to see a substantial amount of companies doing the right thing in this industry.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with Woman of Shore, and she obviously, she's like commercial rigs and all this, like, you know, that's her sector. So when she had this conversation with me, she was stunned about the information that I was giving her, because she was like, wow, I thought I had it bad. I was like, no, you don't. Like, there's regulation, some sort of regulation on that side. Like,
so how long do you think it's going to take before those regulations going to come into the yachting world?
But that is the thing, like what you're talking about. We need to start bridging the sectors. We need to become hybrids. Like, we need to start bringing the people from commercial, the people from, because it's a maritime industry. It's not just yachting. It's not just commercial. It's like, we are all on the same sea. And we all have to work together. We can no longer continue to divide each other because, oh, you're from cruise ships. Oh, you're from commercial. Oh, you're from fishing. Oh, you're from yachting. Literally, you know what she said to me? We are right at the bottom with the fishing people, the yachting industry. That's how bad we have it. Just letting you guys know in case you had any, doubt about it.
I know many great talents that have left the industry and went back to cruise ships, back to hotels on land, back to accounting firms on land, because they said it's impossible, even with their university degree, to make a stand, because it's just the level of sexism and racism that makes on the daily basis that makes them truly unhappy. And I'm not sure if you read about the Great Resignation. That's currently a global phenomenon. So many people leave the workforce in many sectors, including hospitality and the yachting, big time exodus happening there. That people must realize now that something needs to change.
And yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because I mean, it's been going on for a while, but it's really been heightened this past 2 years. There's no crew. There's no...
Yachts are getting bigger. Crew. They're proud that the books are filled. Everyone's proud that they're making sales. But
there's no crew. Freaking nightmare. And now I have encountered a lot of commercial people trying to come into the industry. And of course, guys, you guys are welcome. But then there's what I'm seeing, that they have big tickets. And I'm talking, you know, in the deck department. These commercial people have big tickets, so they can, of course, you know, they can be in the positions they're asking to be, but they're missing the hospitality side of things. And that's what yachting is all about. It's not just being able to have a 500 master, you know, license. It's like, can you deliver the type of service that a yacht delivers? And, you know, more than likely, a lot of people can't. And it's because obviously there's no training. And I think there should be at least some sort of basic training that is like, okay, you want to use this license, but you don't have a background, then you have to take this little course. So you really get into the mindset of yachting so you can then transition. Because I'm going to be real, like, people are allowing these commercial licenses to come in because they don't have an option.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they look at me, I'm like, that's what you got. That's what's out there. So you train them, you figure it out, because you, and then when you give them crew that's senior, that's, you know, 8-10 years in the yachting industry, that have what they want, they don't want to pay them.
Yes.
And he's like, well,
it's like you've studied
times are changing.
To be a lawyer, and then they ask you in 5 minutes to give you piece of advice. You give them legal advice within 5 minutes, and they expect to pay for the 5 minutes and not for the decades of education experience you have.
Exactly.
Which brings me to John Leonida. We agree on many things, but we don't agree on everything. So it's always a very fruitful debate because I also don't want to be caught in my own echo chamber. And that's why I constantly and actively seek conversation and seek the dialogue with people who have an opposing view, mm-hmm. or have taken opposing stance, as in not verbally, but in their actions they show. So I actively pursue them and ask them, why do you think this way? Why do you react this way? And so on and so forth. It takes active and open dialogue. And I can't do it alone. Crew within themselves cannot do it alone. It needs to come from top down. And when I say top down, I really mean management, brokers, which often is the same, shipbuilders, designers, that they take people, their experience and their expertise serious, because I take a shipbuilder serious and I would expect that they take me serious too on my black and white credentials alone, on what I've achieved in my education. For that alone, I would like to be acknowledged and not ignored or have it played down, just because they often still see you as a stewardess, or the term stupidess is unfortunately still around. Wow. So they think, oh, if she can,
that's crazy.
If she as is
that one.
No, it's alive and kicking in Europe, at least. I hear that still all the time.
Or maybe I'm just like, I just totally
you already filter it out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so yeah, change is important. I'm still surprised, positively surprised, that I was allowed at the table to have a discussion. I was, thanks to Martin Hager, the editor-in-chief from Boat Exclusive, he paved the way for me to be able to speak at the Monaco Yacht Summit, from the organizers of the Monaco Yacht Show. And obviously I'm also all thanks to Martin Redman, who then put me in touch with the rest of his journalist team. And I'm also thankful for the women, and it was you and Ria who gave me an opportunity to speak in the first place. And yeah, I'm thankful to Jenny Matthews, who we advise each other, support each other, and I would love to see this grow further.
Absolutely. It's going to happen. Like, I mean, you remember the first show, you were like, I want to share. And now we're like, yeah, you got it. It's happening. You know, it's not. And I really want to show, I want this to inspire others that what you want, if you really want to do it, you can achieve it. Like, no matter what it is, you know, whether you, doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, where you come from, if you're a woman, a man, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's like, if you stand up for what you believe in and you're really guided by your intuition and what you know is right, is always gonna has fruit, you know, is always gonna give you
if you have grit. It's a word that I've been thinking about a lot, not just lately, for the past 10-11 months maybe, because I was always wondering, why do always the same people get ahead? Why do the ones who are sly or politically aligned, why do they get ahead? Why do the really, really good ones get abused or used or sold for their parts, emotionally so drained that it looks like they were broken up into pieces and sold to the best bidder and left as only the hull, the case of the human, and not anymore what was the driving force. And I think we as an industry need to be careful to not kill the passion of the people, because crew has, if they haven't resigned physically on paper, most of them have emotionally and intellectually resigned.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can tell,
and that's dangerous.
Yeah. You can tell when somebody has resigned emotionally, their work performance goes down. There's no passion. There's no drive force. You know,
they do what needs to be done, and that's it. So you will never improve. And if you don't improve, that means you are regressing. And I think for an industry that claims to be progressive, regression should not be a word that they should associate with. Which goes down to, slowly people are starting to acknowledge that there is an issue, I remember Karine Raisin, who's also a great woman in this industry, and not just honest, but also transparent and true with what she promotes and what she advocates. So she's for mental health. She doesn't use it as a shtick. You know, she doesn't use it as a like, oh, I'm doing mental health now by myself and bye. She doesn't use it as, you know, it's what she truly believes and what she lives by. She exercises what she's preaching. So that makes a big difference. And that's why now people slowly have started to acknowledge that there needs to be conversation. The next thing that needs to follow is that we address all of this, all of the topics, the top subjects are down to the subsequential nitty-gritty bits. And after acknowledging it, statements need to be made and actions need to be taken. So a few companies have now started, or have in the last 12 months started, to show people of ethnicity in their advertising. But what's the next thing? Is it just, okay, let's get someone in the picture to look more diverse? Like, this actually happens to people also outside of the industry. I've read an article about, I think she was she is a Black scientist, and they needed someone with the cultural background on the image. She had, I think, nothing to do with the actual whatever they were doing, and they just used it as a prop in a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a prop. You're not a human anymore. You're not part of it. So yeah, sometimes I see they doing this. They do this also in the fashion industry, but your thing is equally guilty of it. So yes, it's great that you slowly start seasoning your images and your marketing with different spices or with different ethnicities, but that also means that you have to live it. So who do you work with in the office? Because one class in cultures, or reading the book from Erin Meyer, The Culture Map, these are not silver bullets. You cannot just read one thing and then do it. I think we all know this. Whoever done his or her driver's license and did the first aid course and since then never touched it, I would love to see what they do in a first aid situation. So you need refreshers. You need constant interaction with the topic. And it's not work. It's actually something very beautiful, because I always feel enriched, no matter if I speak to someone Black, brown, white, or other color. I feel enriched with every conversation.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, the more we talk about it, the more we grow as well, you know. And we, like you said, you know, we hear what other people, where are they coming from and why are they responding or reacting the way they do? And we can also get more compassion towards that and learn. I was like, oh, wow. You know, like, because the reality is that most of us see the world through the filter of our own pain, you know, like whatever happened to you in the past, that's how you're starting to see the future and the present. So until we don't really work on that, we're going to continue to see the same filter. But when you start having conversation, that could potentially help you digest it differently, your own, you know, experiences. And you're like, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way. Thank you for like opening up that space for me to move from my, you know, little space here and then kind of like start growing. Before we go, something that came up, I don't have it here, but I remember that on the Super Yacht News article, I read something about somebody brought the whole below deck thing and how the people that are coming into the industry now, they're, you know, they're having this, I don't know, expectations that's not real. And I want to say, you know, I never watched Below Deck, but I just started recently watching it. And I have to say that, yes, it may be a show and I don't know how real it really is, but it really encompasses what yachting is.
It's exactly what I said as well.
There, all the issues, mental issues, sexual harassment, you know,
the crew interaction sometimes, the whole... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then now you can see with diversity and what you were talking about, you know, like props, you know, in the, at least the season that I was watching was the med season. And there was not, everybody was white, Anglo-Saxon.
Oh yeah, true, everybody. True, yeah.
So all of a sudden now I see that in the new one, there's like there has been like two Black people or something like that, or some Fijian or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. They're now getting it. Like, you need diversity, you know? But I do want to say that, you know, a lot of people make fun of this show and all that, but I think it's really cool that it's out there, because it really is. And I think a lot of people get mad at it because it shows what actually needs to be changed in the industry.
Some is overly dramatic, but in the core of things, I must admit as well, I've only watched a few episodes and then I, you know, fast forwarded a bit because it is cringing moments. But they do come from a true place. I've seen some of the crew interactions there, which were hostile, to say the least. They were hostile, and that was very accurate. And I've experienced also worse. So
exactly,
as embarrassed as the industry is about this, maybe it's really, really time now to reflect on what has happened in the past and now project on how to make things different. But so actions need to follow the words.
Exactly. I brought this because I was watching one of the seasons and one of the episodes, a few of the episodes, you can see where people are waking up and hitting their head on the roof, on the ceiling, which everybody has in this. But it's because the space is so, so tiny. Like, I'm a tiny person and I still have that issue, you know? And then you have 6-something+ feet tall, you know, people on this tiny little cabins. And why I'm saying is because, you know, we were talking about how other people, how the design of a vessel, you know, of the area of the crew and all that really does have a massive chain reaction. So like these people are already starting the day with hitting themselves. So they're like annoyed, you know, they're already in that energy of like, oh my God, this shitty freaking cabin, right? And then, you know, you go from that to, you can also see like mental health issues on board, the issues with drug and alcohol, sexual harassment from crew and guests as well. You know, and I don't know, and I feel like part of this show is real, because I would hate to think that the Bravo network will make them do certain things that are being shown.
I don't know about the network or what they do. I just feel that the show sums it up in many occasions quite right. And yes, cabin spaces are quite painful. What the majority of crew complains about is actually storage spaces and so on. But then again, you cannot scapegoat designers now for how yachts are built.
Yeah.
You cannot also not just scapegoat the yachts for it alone. It needs to be understood and agreed with all those big parties who advise the owner that they cannot get away with it because it's going to cost them too much, or they push it if they cannot stand on their own against an owner's opinion of having inhumane conditions of living and working spaces, then bring it to legislation, bring it to the ILO, and then let them regulate the industry. But I spoke with the regulator and like I said, and everyone says the same thing: you don't want us to come in to regulate, you better regulate yourself so you don't have all those punishments on top. Look at how ISM just exploded. There's so much administration and paperwork that needs to be done before you can actually, you know, serve an owner on the after, before you actually can have what the yacht is intended to do in the first place.
It's interesting because, you know, you said, okay, you know, they say you don't want us to come in and regulate.
That's what they say, yeah.
When in fact, crew are begging for them to come and regulate, because the people in power are not actually being responsible enough to regulate themselves and others. So this actually changes. So like you said, people on the top really need to get out of, you know, their heads out of their ass, yeah, and actually take action. Because what are we going to do? We're crew, right? We're like at the lower rank. And all we can think of is the big, big top guys, meaning not them, but like somebody like ILO, take control over this, right? But then these guys are saying, your people need to take over. You know, they need to regulate. So it's kind of like...
And to be very honest with you, I first of all agree. It's not smart to wait for legislation to do a job that you could be doing. But what I find very, very dangerous at the moment, and I think we're really sitting on a ticking bomb. It's a time bomb. It's just a matter of time till one or a group of crew will come out and just gonna wash all the dirty laundry of this industry in public, and I mean globally. And that's going to be very devastating. It's just a matter of time. It's look what happened to Epstein. Look what happened to the fashion industry, to the movie industry. It's just a matter of time. So it's better to do something now. So people who have been disadvantaged, people who have made victims, that they feel that they get their right, that it gets corrected. And that that there is actual change, and not in words, but in action. You cannot say, I'll do something for mental health, but actually behind the scenes, 70, 80% of the people confirm that they're not abiding by their own rules. Or I always look critically at all the helplines, who is paying for them, who's supporting them. Do they actually, there is no trust in this industry. And that needs to be rebuilt before you say, okay, we were bad before. Most of them don't even acknowledge that. They say, oh, okay, we understand you have an issue. We didn't know at all. Okay, whatever. You say you didn't know. Let's leave it there. And now you pretend to give a solution, but it's just another white labeling exercise. It's not going to fly. Not with this generation of people. Not with all the change. People need to realize, like the Industrial Revolution changed the world, COVID has changed the world. People have change their outlook of self-worth and how they want to live and occupy the space in this world.
Absolutely. So thank you, COVID, for that, because that definitely brings growth, you know, in the industry and at a human level in every area of life. So I want to end with a quote from the Super Yacht News article. Those who do not practice what they preach and heed the voices of forward-thinking individuals such as Margarita only set themselves up for further scrutiny as the industry becomes ever more mature and prosperous. And I agree.
So I didn't even know this one. Where was this? Well,
thank you for leading the way. That's how the article ends. So I'll share the link if you want to read it. And just having you on the show and seeing you live on the forum, you know, it really is inspiring. And I'm just like, yes, you know, I'm like super stoked because what you do for you, you're really doing for me, for everybody, you know? So it's like, when you're speaking, when you're talking, it's like, yes, she's doing it for all of us. So it's like, I feel like my voice and the voice of countless of people is being heard, you know? So keep doing what you're doing. We got your back, sister. So thank you again for being part of this show. And making a real difference in the industry.
Yeah, I would like to say one thing to that, because I'm always worried when I speak on stage or off stage with people, because I don't want just to voice what I think and I feel, and people in the background know this about me. I ask them, hey, how do you feel about this topic? What was your experience? Can I use what you shared with me in a conversation with and or without your name? So I always try to get different perspectives in, and anyone who watches this and would like to share a grievance or a concern or a solution on how to make that change, bombard me on my Instagram or WhatsApp or email to share this, because I don't speak just for myself. I want to be able to include the different perspectives.
Absolutely. So if you have something to say, share it in the comment below. I'll also, there's a link for her Instagram and website, so you can check it out. And of course, you can contact her if you want to. And if you have something to say, wisdom to share, please book a time with me to get on here, on Uncensored. Well, thank you, Margarita, for your time. I'm super excited that we got to have you back on the show. I'm sure it won't be like the last one. And yeah. Have fun doing what you do, because you do a great job.
Likewise. Thank you for having me once again. And I look forward to where these things will take us.
Yes. All right, guys, this is a wrap. Until next.